Well, Phil Donahue died today at the age of 88, and I want to take the opportunity to remind everyone that Donahue was fired at the end of his career for being against the war in Iraq. And that has important significance for us right now as the United States continues to drag us into a war to support Israel. He was known, of course, for his sensational talk show, but his career was sunset early for cautioning the American people against rushing to support the Bushes in their wars in the Middle East. So let's bring this back around today because it's important to remind ourselves why we were dragged into the war in Iraq. And it's very haunting to think, what if we had listened to him? What if he had been allowed to speak to the American people against war? How many lives might have been saved if those voices had not been silenced? So in February of 2003, Phil Donahue had the number one show on MSNBC, and he was fired rather suddenly. Here is what an internal leaked memo from MSNBC said about that firing. It said, an internal memo leaked to the press stated that Donahue was hurting the image of the network. He would be a, quote, difficult public face for NBC in a time of war. Donahue was fired and never returned to the airwaves. The memo went on to say that Donahue, quote, seems to delight in presenting guests who are anti-war, anti-Bush, and skeptical of the administration's motives. Like he seemed to delight in that. He found it a sick pleasure to speak out against the war. The report went on to outline a possible nightmare scenario where the show became, quote, a home for the liberal anti-war agenda at the same time that our competitors are waving the flag at every opportunity. What they meant was Fox News. Can we put that last screen back up, the memo? Because what I didn't highlight here, but I want to draw your attention to, is that General Electric and Microsoft, MSNBC's founders and defense contractors that went on to make tremendous profits for the war, were not tolerating a dissenting voice. So they were sponsoring the network. And they were like, wait a minute, we're going to make a ton of money in this war. You need to shut that guy down. So they did so, not just because they knew that Fox News was going full on support the troops, support the war, but also because they needed to bow down to their paymasters, clearly. So, but one thing that just makes me laugh now when you look at this memo is that they said MSNBC can't be a home for the liberal anti-war agenda. That does not exist anymore. The only wisps of anti-war that we get come from libertarians, veterans, and very few Republicans like Thomas Massie and Rand Paul. There is no liberal anti-war agenda. There is no conservative anti-war agenda. There is only the uniparty pro-war agenda. They both want war. MSNBC at the time did not want to have any anti-war programming. In fact, nobody did. Here's a study from 2003 that shows that every network amplified pro-war voices. This study studied ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, and PBS. Here is what they found, is that of all of these programming, that they had mostly military pundits on, and that using the sources, they said that 76% of total sources, more than 2 out of 3, were either current or former officials. They found that they platformed almost no anti-war voices at all. Less than 10% were anti-war. And this, of course, was by design, and it holds up today. No network will present anti-war voices, and if they do, by accidentally having on Jeffrey Sachs, they cut him off and never invite him back again. What's worse, though, is that the media failed to tell us that even U.S. intelligence at the time knew that it was clear that the war in Iraq was fought for Israel. This is from Scott Horton's great reporting about the 9/11 wars from his book, Enough Already. It says that National Security Advisor Rice's assistant, Philip Zelikow, admitted what experts understood, but the average American was never told, that the war was to be fought primarily to protect the interests of Israel, not the United States. So this is from his own memo, U.S. intelligence, saying, why would Iraq attack America or use nuclear weapons against us? I'll tell you what I think is the real threat, and has been since 1990, is the threat against Israel. And this is the threat that dare not speak its name because the Europeans don't care about that threat. I will tell you frankly, And the American government doesn't want to lean too hard on it rhetorically because it's not a popular sell. Don't look at the links between Iraq and Al-Qaeda and then ask yourself, gee, is Iraq tied to Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the people who are carrying out suicide bombings in Israel? Of course it is. Easy answer, the evidence is abundant, but nobody told the American people that the war was a solid to Israel. That's why we were dragged into that. So people were canceled for it. Phil Donahue is one. It also mentions Jesse Ventura was another. So think about it. The war in 2003 was in the interest of Israel, but what if we had listened to anti-war voices? What if those links had been reported by the media? They were not. Over 4,000 U.S. servicemen were killed in that conflict. 31,000 were wounded. And then that's just us. The Iraqi death toll and the wars that resulted from that, we're still counting. We showed you this report from 2023 about the nonstop war on terror that now has a death toll from this Brown University study of over 4.5 million people and counting. This comes from not only that war, but the wars that were spun out of that in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Most of these are indirect deaths, meaning they come from the post 9/11 wars, destruction of economies, public services, the environment. Indirect deaths just grow in scale over time, meaning that suffering continues 20 years later. Of these 4.5 million deaths, they say that most of them, in fact, 3.7 million, are indirect from the spread of disease, health problems, public services, that kind of thing. 7.6 million children under the age of five are still suffering from malnutrition in these regions. They are known as wasting children or stunting. And yet the media will tell you none of this and they cancel these voices. So it's important to think about this in the wake of the death of Phil Donahue. And in fact, in 2006, MSNBC host Chris Matthews was asked about this on the air by journalist Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! They literally cut off her microphone. Watch.
Chris, on 10 years of MSNBC, but I wish standing with you was Phil Donahue. He shouldn't have been fired for expressing an anti-war point of view on the eve of the election. His point of view and the people he brought on were also
important. I don't know what the reasons
were,
but I doubt it was that.
Well, we have the NBC memo. That was a secret memo that came out that said they didn't want him to be the face of this network, an anti-war face at a time when the other networks were waving.
Can I answer the question? I think you might talk about it.
I said, yeah, there, Phil, you were a great patriot. We did have the NBC memo, the secret memo, that said they didn't want their flagship show to be you when the other networks were waving the American flag.
That's what it said. And by the way, that memo was written by a Republican focus group, a Republican counseling group that took the focus group and that revealed that most of the people in the focus group didn't like me. But I saw that, Amy.
And yet you were the most popular show.
Well, often we led the night for the—nobody burned the town down on MSNBC, including me. Fox just ran away with the ratings and continues to enjoy that
were
success.
Were you watching MSNBC that night?
I did. I saw it. And I called the kids. I said, hey, I'm not sure I did it soon enough, but I certainly was grateful for. I needed the pat on the back at the time.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that. And, you know, sad too. I mean, it's sad also we're reflecting on these former anti-war voices, Democracy Now!, which used to be.
Yeah.
You would hold that, not anymore.
Right.
Right. So, it's sad to see what's happened. All of these voices pushed out. When Tucker speak out against the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right. And the purchasing of land by BlackRock and Vanguard inside of Ukraine, slamming Zelensky.
Right.
And then Tucker gets fired.
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, that's sort of the point I'm trying to make here is that anti-war voices suffer the consequences when it comes to mainstream media. Am I saying Donahue was a perfect journalist? Of course not. A lot of his sensationalism was then built upon by the tabloid talk shows. But again, I think that had he been canceled in the year 2024, maybe he could have become an independent media voice. But that was not the landscape on which he was pushed out. So he never really got his retribution. And again, every time I see some government mouthpiece justifying war, I think, how are you going to answer for this? Like, how will your soul answer for this in whatever form of afterlife you believe in? So this was the thought that I put on X today that I want to leave you with, is that he was fired again for speaking out against the war, and history now is sort of on his side. So may his soul rest in peace, given that he was on the right side of history, and may the rest of us remember that we too will have to answer for our stance on war one day. So let me know what you think of that.